Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, we'd like to welcome you to the Lexington Christian Church, our usual Sunday morning program. Do we have any birthdays this week? No birthdays. Anybody have an anniversary this week? Nobody will admit to it. Okay. Take a quick look at the announcements. The announcement, unless somebody else has something going, today's the last day for Come and Get It. So after the service, you want to run downstairs and check over the clothing situation down there. Take what you want. The rest of it's going out. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. Number 35. Let's stand and worship the Lord in song. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Amen. And number 171, Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always, and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Calm in thy soul. beneath his control. Death led by his Spirit, fill fountains of service above. Brother Mitch, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, we are so blessed.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for every breath we take. We thank you for every step that we're allowed to take. We thank you, Lord, that you allow us to see the beauty that you have created. The sunshine, the green grass, the beautiful flowers, the trees, Lord, everything you made is so good. And Lord, you made us, and we're grateful. You made us to worship you. So we are gathered here this morning to do that very thing, to worship you. So, Lord, let us put everything else aside. Focus all of our attention, all of ourselves, mind, heart, soul, and strength on you. And worship you together. Bless us for doing so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, let's turn to number 255. Jesus paid it all. Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. Garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. When before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Now we'd like to ask John Klemek to bring us our communion meditation and prayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My reading today is for More Than Hacks. I recently found a hack, a clever solution to a tricky problem. When one of my grandchildren warmed her toy rabbit on her fireplace glass, the resulting globs of fake bunny fur weren't pretty, but a fireplace expert provided a great hack, a tip for how to make the glass look like new. It worked, and now we no longer allow stuffed animals near the fireplace. I bring up hacks because sometimes we can view Scripture as a collection of hacks, tips to make life easier. While it's true that the Bible has much to say about how to live a Christ-honoring new life, that's not the only purpose of the book. What Scripture provides for us is a solution for mankind's greatest need, rescue from sin and eternal separation from God. From the promise of salvation in Genesis 3, all the way to the true hope of a new heaven and new earth in Revelations, the Bible explains that God has an eternal plan for rescuing us from our sin and allowing us to enjoy fellowship with Him. In every story and every suggestion for how to live, the Bible is pointing us to Jesus,
Amen.
The only one who can solve our biggest problems.
Amen.
When we open God's book, may we remember that we're looking for Jesus, the rescue He offers, and how to live as His children.
Yes.
He's provided the greatest solution of all. Let's pray. Father, thank You for salvation. You provided through Jesus. Help me to honor You by keeping focused on our Savior and His amazing love for me. Amen.
As Jesus and His disciples were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, broken for you. Eat ye of it." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, He gave thanks, and passing it among them, said, "This is My blood of the New Testament. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Amen. You know, there are two great responsibilities that we have as Christians: to trust God and to obey God. Number 469 says, "Trust and obey." Let's sing.
When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly
quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. Special music this morning will be brought to us by Brother Wayne Morris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a song taken from Psalms 139:10. It's an old song. It's a good song.
When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the shadows appear and the night draweth near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm through the night. Lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Today's scripture is the parable of the net, Matthew 13, verses 47 through 52. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old.
Amen. So I'll wear this thing this week, and then after that, you won't see it again. as we continue on here in our parables that Jesus is teaching from.
Turn my mic on, it helps, doesn't it? You know, he talked about the hidden treasure and the pearl we talked about last week. Now we're talking about throwing a net. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been out and seined for minnows. You put a net in. It's more of a screen than a net, really. But you put it in a creek somewhere, and you just leave it there. And then over time, the minnows will come up in that net. And they get caught the way it's set. And then you just lift them out. Here, it's a bigger picture. This is more like a dragnet, where they take this huge net. Sometimes, you know, they still do this today. As we were in Texas, we saw a shrimping boat coming in. But they throw these big nets out. And they go way down, sometimes all the way to the bottom of the ocean. And the fish, as they accumulate and they come through there, then they lift it up. And as it says there, you don't know what you're going to catch. There's all kinds, different kinds of fish. And, you know, it's important for us to realize what he's saying here. We're not meant to all be the same in the house of God. Amen. We're not meant to all believe exactly the same thing in the house of God. Amen. you know, we don't have to always agree on every little detail of everything, as long as we all believe that Jesus is Lord. And then we can all worship together as brothers and sisters. I don't know about you, but in my family, we don't all agree on things. Is that right, Judy? We have differences of opinion on things. And the family of God is no different. It's no different. It seems like in some places, in some churches I've been in, they expect everyone to conform to their particular way of belief, to their particular way of doing things. I don't want that here. We need diversity. We need diversity. If everybody was exactly the same, then how would there ever be anything different? I mean, come on. We need different age groups. We need different people with different backgrounds. We need, You know, I was raised a Baptist. My grandfather was an old regular Baptist minister. But, you know, I still have some of that in me. And it's a good thing. I learned a lot from that. I learned some good things and I learned some not so good things. But I've learned the difference. And that's what counts. Is as you mature as a Christian, you learn the difference. Now, in this net, when Christ catches all these different kinds of fish, then there comes a day when they're sorted out. Now, folks, he's talking about those that are in the net, not those that didn't get caught. He's talking about those in the net. Because some people, even though they hear the gospel and are attracted to it, they still never really make a commitment to Jesus Christ. They never really decide to trust and obey, as Bob said this morning. Very astute. You know, there's a difference between believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and obeying what he says. We're told that the devil and the demons, they all believe that Jesus is Lord. In fact, they know he is. They don't have a doubt in their mind. But they're still not about to obey what he says. I've met people that way. They will tell you, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But then they start taking the Lord's name in vain. And then they, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that. And it doesn't bother them. And I'm like, okay, how does that line up with the Word of God? We're not to judge anyone, whether they're lost or whether they're saved. But the Bible says we are to be fruit inspectors. We're to see the fruits of people's works. If someone is an alcoholic and says, I'm a Christian going to heaven, the Bible says, no, they're not. It's very clear. No alcoholic will enter into the gates of heaven. No sexual pervert. There's many different things it says will not enter. And there are people who say they're a Christian and never, ever change their behavior. Now, folks, that's not really making a commitment to Christ. That's making a commitment to believing that Christ is who he says he is. And there's a difference. There's a difference between making a mental assent that Jesus is the Lord and giving him your heart. There's a big difference. And we need to make sure that we're of the fish in the net who have given their whole being, their whole heart, their whole soul, their whole strength, everything that we have, everything that we are. We need to make sure that we have, in fact, given it all to Jesus. Not just believe who he is, but because we believe who he is, realize the significance of the blessings that we will receive by obeying him rather than living in this world, doing the things that this world has to offer and feeling that that's the best life we can have. No, I'm sorry. If the best life we have is what this world has to offer, I got news for you. That's not a very good life. Yeah, I know people, myself included, who had some stocks and bonds, and then the stock market crashed. You know, I was lose $100,000 overnight. Gone. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's very good. And there's people who lost a lot more than that. In fact, there were some stockbrokers that jumped out of windows and killed themselves because their faith was in their ability to make money for people and to make money for themselves, not in Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful what kind of fish that we are within Christ's net. It says then that after they caught all kinds of fish, when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw the bad away.
Now, this is the same thing as the tares and the wheat. Okay? The angels come at the last time, the last day, and what happens is Christ is going to separate those that are his from those that are not. And that's going to happen even within the church, not just without, folks. Because there are evil people who go to church intentionally trying to destroy that church. Stir up factions, stir up hatred, and stir up all kinds of trouble between believers. I mean, look at how the history of the church is. And I think I've shared with you all before, but at another church that I was at in the past, I wanted to go meet some of the other local pastors, introduce myself and get to know them and, you know, have some kind of rapport with them. And I went to the closest church, big church, and the pastor just didn't have time for me. You know, I said, yeah, I said, I just wanted to meet you. He said, okay, we met. Now what do you want? I was like, well, I thought we could have fellowship. No, you go do your thing and I'll do mine. It's like, okay. He wanted to compete. You know, he wanted to compete for people, for souls. That's not what the church is about, folks. We're not trying to steal souls from other churches. We're not trying to yank people from one place to another. We're trying to introduce people to Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, the only one who can save them. And in these end days, folks, and we are in the end days, in these end days, we need to be busy, busy, busy doing that very thing, introducing people to Jesus Christ. And so after this separation, it says, the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but that gives me chills. Can you imagine being in a blazing fire for all of eternity? Your skin just melting off of you until there's nothing left. And then it all comes back together and it starts over again. Just continually for all of eternity. No wonder they're weeping and gnashing their teeth. Just thinking about it makes me gnash my teeth and want to weep. And then he says to the disciples, have you understood all these things? And they said, yeah. But what he's really saying here is, you know, he had asked them about, they had asked him to explain the wheat and the tares. And then he told these other two parables about the pearl and the hidden treasure. And what he's really saying is, now that I've given you more information, do you understand it better? And they're saying, yes, thank you. Yes, Lord, we understand it better. Now we see that what you're talking about is the choices we make and the way that we live is going to matter what happens to our eternal soul on the last day. Whether we come to be with you or whether we go down and burn in those flames for all of eternity. And so Jesus seems to change the subject, but he's really not. But he just talks a little different about a little different thing here. He says to them, therefore, every teacher of the law, or a scribe in some cases, but in this case, he's talking about the disciples, who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven, is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Now, what he's saying to the disciples here, to you and to me, is that we are teachers. We are teaching the world how to know Jesus. We're teaching them who Jesus is. The reason why people who are not Christian watch us is to learn about Jesus. They're trying to learn about what we really believe, folks. And if we really believe what the Bible teaches, then we should be Christ-like. We should be more like him. And that means we should be patient, kind, loving, you know, Does that mean we're always going to be that way? No. There are people who will push your buttons always. There are people who's going to try us to the point to where we're just ready to strangle them to death. You know, the definition of stress is wanting to strangle to death somebody who really deserves it, but then not doing it. there's people who's going to push your buttons, and some do it intentionally. Some do it intentionally just to get a rise out of a Christian, just to see what they can do. I've been tested in a lot of different ways by people, and I think I can say most of the time I did okay, but there's sometimes I didn't. people want to see what's real and what's not. And, you know, you think about Billy Graham, for example. On the road, all the time, away from home. Every time he went into a motel room, he had his aide go in first and check the room and take out the television, remove it. Why? No one could ever say that he watched something he shouldn't have watched. Nope, wasn't it? His aide was always a male, never had a female travel with him. He always chose a male aide. And he never was alone with a female other than his wife or his daughter. Never. No one could ever say that he had done something because he had a witness. He was very cautious, very careful, but he was honoring Christ. He was being Christ-like. I wonder if the judgment day came today, what kind of fish would I be? What kind of fish would you be? Are we ready? Are we truly ready? And folks, I mean this in the most serious way, because I believe it could be any day. Any day. Whether it's you or me leaving this world, or whether it's the return of Christ. Any day. When none of us know. And so we need to make sure that we truly are ready. Not just ready to die, but also we need to make sure that if we don't die, we're truly ready to live for him. Because living for him is a lot harder than dying for him. Did you ever think about that? Dying is easy. It's one time, it's done, it's over. Living is daily, hourly, minute by minute. Test after test, trial after trial, goes on and on and on. And as we get closer to the end, it's going to get harder, folks. It's going to get much harder. I mean, if you think wearing these masks for COVID is something, just wait till you see what comes next. There's all kinds of things that are in the works. All kinds of things that we need to be careful about. These injections that they're talking about forcing everybody to take for COVID. Be careful. Make sure you know what you're getting, because many of them have things in it that you probably don't want in your system. Ways for them to track you, ways for them to read your entire health record, your bank accounts, and everything else. Just giving you fair warning, folks. It's coming. And Bill and Melinda Gates, big contributors to that. So just do some research before you take the shot. Make sure that you're doing the right thing. What Jesus wants, not what the devil wants. Folks, I truly believe our time is short. And the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking. What's happening? There's fewer people here.
We're getting closer to that day. And yet the devil has found a way to keep people out of church, scaring them with a disease. I'm not telling anybody not to wear a mask. Don't get me wrong. I would never tell you that. If you feel the Lord tells you to wear a mask, wear a mask. But don't listen to everything they're saying and believe it all about this disease. It's not all true. Much of it is false. And it is a platform that is being used by the Antichrist, setting up for the coming. So you've been forewarned. Do your own research. Don't listen to this crazy preacher. Do your own research and you'll find out. I'm just a nut for Jesus. But you can be a bolt. And it all works together. Be prepared. That's all I'm saying. Just be ready. Be prepared. That's my job as your shepherd, is to lead you and prepare you for what's coming. So I'm telling you. I've seen it. I've read it. It's coming. Be ready. Get your soul prepared. Get your life in order. It's coming. Brother Bob, take us out of here.
Our invitation hymn this morning
is number 533. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Let's stand and sing. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives while restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Amen.
Amen. It's been good being together this morning.
Amen.
We'd like to invite anyone out in Never Never Land who is seeking a church home, or would just like to join us one Sunday morning to see what we're really like. We're in greater metropolitan downtown Lexington, Indiana, right behind the post office. So if there's nothing more, then Brother Mitch, will you dismiss us, please?
I will. Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock, and I don't know if everybody forgot or what, but we are having Sunday school. So if you got out of the habit, please get back in it. And for those of you who can come tonight, see you at 5 o'clock. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your visit here among us today. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless us. Pull us in closer to you, Lord, as we walk day to day. Let us walk closer to you. Lord, as Brother Wayne sang about, take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me, guide me through the rest of this life. Amen. That I may serve and honor you with everything that I do and everything that I say. I pray this for everyone here and everyone listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I
am a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Okay.